Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
This is Jason Witter, author, illustrator of Tiniest Vampire and Monsters Eating Ice Cream, and you are listening to Aaron's Horror Show.
You are listening to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. We get to read fiction on the show and talk about some movies, books, you name it. If you like what I do here, please consider supporting the show at patreon.com/AaronFrail. You'll get some books and other cool stuff for your support. Go ahead and also reach out to me at aaronshorrorshow@gmail.com, Aaron Horror Show on Twitter, or Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. All right, I got a horror movie for you today. Not really a horror movie, a horror series. And what's cool is my wife is watching this one with me. So I think I've told you this on the podcast before, that she really does not like horror in general. And so whenever I do anything that's like truly just horror and doesn't have something else going on, you know, like I talked about, you know, Lock and Key last time and that had some magic going on. So she's cool with that kind of stuff. Even though it is a little spooky, right? but this is like straight up horror, and it's good horror. Like it's like scary horror. You know, and well, let me rephrase that. It is a particular type of scary horror, because you know what? When it comes to horror in general, like some things scare people, but not others. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has their different taste of what they get scared by. You know what I mean? Like, you know, for example, The Exorcist is a movie where people literally walked out of the theater, and people were, like, consulting priests. They had, like, you know, priest on hand to console you after the movie, and to me it wasn't scary at all, you know what I mean? But I'm not necessarily like a deeply religious person, so I don't, you know, get scared by that, you know. But someone who is deeply religious, I could see how The Exorcist can be really freaking terrifying, you know what I mean? Like, I had a person I knew who, she was super religious, and she just like could not handle The Exorcist, terrified of it. You know, my wife just doesn't like scary movies. She doesn't like being scared. In fact, when we were watching this, I kind of pretended I was the ghost, and in a joking way, I was like, you know, being very silly, right before we were going to sleep, going, "I'm a little girl coming," you know what I mean? Like just saying something weird, and she just said, "Stop that!" Like literally cut me, like, shut me down, like, do not do that, you know what I mean? So I stopped, you know, because I knew, oh my god, okay, she's pretty serious about this. She, you know, this is actually creeping her out, and she's probably gonna have trouble sleeping tonight, so I better be on my best behavior and not even jokingly talk about the horror that we just watched. So yeah, I'm excited because she got to watch it with me, you know, and you know, rather than the way I normally do it, where I'm like sitting there in bed, you know, in the dark, by the way, you know, with the headphones on, watching my iPad. That's usually how I watch most horror movies, is in bed with my iPad. And it actually means that I don't necessarily watch them all the way through, you know, because I get tired and fall asleep. So I usually about have a half hour in me. So, you know, an hour and a half movie takes me like three nights to get through. So when you're watching a horror movie, sometimes breaking it up like that doesn't really help. But anyways, what we watched was The Haunting of Bly Manor. So if you're not familiar with Haunting of the Bly Manor, it's Netflix. And you can actually go and watch all of it, because I'm going to go ahead and have some spoilers. All right, you watched all of it. So, you know, basically The Haunting of Bly Manor is about a house in England that's haunted, and it takes place in the 80s, and it's basically, you know, the story of this American nanny who, you know, she had this traumatic event in her life that is haunting her literally in the series, and it gets her to go to this house to basically teach the kids there. And you know, she was a school teacher, so it's not so far off the beaten path. But, you know, it starts off with very typical kind of horror movie tropes. The kids are creepy, especially the older boy. Later on, you find out that, you know, he's able to be possessed by one of the ghosts, which is why he is creepy, because you're like, oh, totally makes sense. You're creepy because the ghost is possessing you. There's also, you know, your typical ring or, you know, the Japanese ghost, where it's usually like, you know, a woman with long hair that's in front of her face, and she walks at night leaving mud tracks, and she seems to be the evil ghost, the one that is really can like actually kill someone. And it's interesting because, like, very early on, the kids lock the nanny in the closet, and she starts screaming and wanting to get out. She, you know, very claustrophobic, and it's all related to her past trauma, right? Because, you know, she sees her dead fiancé, she sees him in the mirror, you know, and, you know, there's a mirror in this closet, and so she's, like, freaking out, trying to get out of this closet, because she's seeing him in the mirror, and, you know, screaming, like, let me out, and the kids just, you know, keep her in there, and I'm like, I think the kids are saving her, like, like, I think the kids locked her in the closet because they knew that she would die if she was left to her own devices, and I was right. I was actually, like, later on, when you find out that the kids are actually trying to save her, because, you know, their original nanny died. Oh, and by the way, the parents of the kids also are dead, so, like, a lot of dead people in this. A lot of dead people. There's, like, one, yeah, I won't tell you that one character, but the other interesting thing about it is there, the scares are not, there's very few startle scares. So, you know, there's a couple, you know, when it comes to horror movies, once again, everyone has different tastes, but, you know, there's the startle scare, which is the cat scare, right? Something jumps out at you, or, you know, the character walks around a corner and something's there, or they turn around and something's standing behind them and there wasn't something there before, you know, something that makes you literally jump up from your thing, or clasp upon your person you're watching a movie with. In fact, funny story about a cat scare. I went to this, you know, blind date, which, you know, the person was perfectly nice. We just, like, had, I don't know, nothing in common. Like literally there would be long, awkward pauses at dinner. Just, you know, we'd say nothing, and we just weren't connecting at all. And it was bad enough that I, you know, called someone from the bathroom to say, hey, call me in like a, you know, but I left a voicemail, so they never called me, you know, like, get me out of here, you know, fake an emergency, give me a call, you know. so I tried to get a bailout, but, you know, the funny thing is we were going to see the movie Signs by M. Night Shyamalan, the movie about the aliens and the crop circles, and it's kind of a scary movie, and there's a lot of cat scares of that movie, like stuff that makes you jump, you know. And what was really funny is she kept like grabbing my shoulders every time she'd jump and stuff like that, and it was really awkward because I'm like, I don't know, do you feel as awkward on this date as I do? Just, this is not working, we're just not connecting, and I really would like to, but it just didn't work out, you know? So we never saw each other again, of course. And we kind of left at this weird, like, well, I guess I'll see you around. You know what I mean? Like, such a weird date. But anyways, don't go on awkward blind dates and plan to see a scary movie, because they'll want to grab you, and that's okay, because you want to grab someone, you know, hold them close when you get scared, right? That's our natural thing, but really weird when it's a bad date. Or, I don't know, it wasn't bad, it was just awkward, just nothing, I don't know, nothing in common. Long pauses, really long pauses. I mean, literally, imagine being on a date with someone and you're eating dinner and you're actually just sitting there eating for long periods of time, and then you ask a question and they give you a really short answer, and then you, another long pause, and then they ask you a question and you kind of give an answer, and more along, but you know what I mean, that's what it was. Anyways, here nor there, but yeah, they're in The Haunting of Bly Manor. There is very little cat scares. The type of scares that they have in there is the very slow atmospheric creepy build. So, you know, if you are a fan of Alien, the first Alien movie, right, that's a lot of very slow creepy build type of stuff, right, where you know something bad is going to happen, and they're not showing it to you just yet. That's the kind of scary stuff that's happening in The Haunting of Bly Manor. It's just very slow moving with the scares, but it's really scary because they do it well. Like they do really well at the, what is that standing at the end of the hallway in shadow, you know what I mean? Like, they do really well with that, or what's the slow impending dread that something terrible is going to happen, you know, like that. That's the type of scares that they have a lot of in there, just the very slow build. It also gets really kind of weirdly surreal at some point, you know, like literally there's an episode that is completely out of time in the sense that it's non-sequential, and you know, it's for a character that is often not all there, you know, like, oh, sorry, I was a million miles away at the moment. She'd say that a lot, you know what I mean? And then when it comes to her episode that tells her backstory and all this other kind of stuff, like, you see, I don't know, the world as she does, where it's kind of, I don't know, the the events are not linear in her head, so you don't experience them in a linear way, and it keeps jumping through time and jumping through events, and it all makes sense by the end of the episode, but it's a really crazy episode to watch, because at first you're like, what the F is going on? It's like, did I just step into a different series? You know, like, it just changes everything really quickly, and then there's actually more stuff like that, where when they start exploring other people's characters, different things happen. So, you know, I don't know, I highly recommend it for those of you that just like, you know, slow creeping builds, you know, like for those of you that, you know, like, like, if you like slasher flicks, like, if you're like, you know, I really just want to see Freddy or Jason or Michael Myers just go and axe a bunch of people, then this is probably not the right series for you, right? Because it doesn't necessarily move in that direction, you know? It does not have a slasher thing. But if you like, you know, that sort of like, oh God, if I turn off the lights, there's something horrible at the end of the, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't even want to get out of bed. Or, you know, if you have that sort of enjoyment of stuff that is really dark, I really like it. I felt very few filmmakers can pull off that very effectively, that very slow, slow-moving creep. But it definitely gets you in that slow-moving, like, oh my god, there's something terrible. like I don't know. I feel your imagination, or at least my imagination as a filmmaker, is probably better than anything that I can see. You know what I mean? Like, I feel horror movies that show me too much too early doesn't let my imagination run wild, you know what I mean? And that's what they do here. They let your imagination just go off the hook. But they also give you a satisfying, oh, look at that, this is this is what this is, you know? Like, eventually you do get to kind of see what's going on, but you also get to have this whole point where you are not given, yeah, they're very good at withholding information. And I think for me, that's my favorite horror movies, the kind where they withhold a whole lot, but they give you a good, nice payout at the end, you know, and a lot of it is just this atmosphere, I don't know if I told you about this, but I used to play this game with some friends called the Scare Game, and it was, you know, you think this is something we did when we were like five, but I did this in like college, you know, in like my early 20s, so. It takes a certain mindset to get into this type of game, but it was really fun. Like, I was surprised at how much fun the Scare Game was, even though you knew it was all a fiction. But what it was is we basically would make haunted houses for each other. Like, the way the Scare Game worked is we usually would either, you know, if it was a warm night, we'd stand outside on the back porch and, you know, have some cigarettes and maybe have a beer or something, you know, and then a person would create, you know, a haunted house, and once they were ready, they would tell everyone to come in, and then you would explore the house completely in the dark and experience whatever kind of scares that they had for you. And there's legit times when we were all screaming, or other times we would be in a room, like you just get stuck in the one room, and they would, you know, have a knock or something they do, and you know, after you hear the knock, that you have 5 minutes until you could walk out. And you know, let me give you some of the highlight reels so you can kind of see the way this game worked. But you know, like one time somebody, like we were coming out of a room up on the second floor, and somebody put this like weird face at the end of a broom that just kind of peered over the balcony at us. So, you know, we were like the balcony was a sheer drop. You know what I mean? Like, that thing had to have been floating in order to do what it did. I mean, we didn't know it was on a broom handle. We just saw this creepy face just kind of come out and look like it was like, and in the dark, it looked like this like shadowy demon thing was crawling over the banister, and we screamed, like, we were like, oh my god, you know what I mean? And then in the, you know, when you turn on the lights, it's just like, oh, he put this, like, you know, blanket over this, you know, weird face looking thing. And you know, we were also theater people, so we had sometimes access to cool props and stuff, you know, and he put it on the end of a broom handle and just kind of poked it over the edge when we were all right there. There was another scare, where one of my friends, he set the Ring, and this was right when that movie The Ring came out, and he set the Ring video to just play when we walked in the room. We found out later that he was, like, standing outside waiting for us with a remote control, you know? but yeah, that was very creepy. I think on that same one, and this was the best one ever, there is this long hallway that was pitch black, and there was a closet in that hallway that, basically, you know, had a washer and dryer, in it. You know, when you're in this hallway, you can't see anything at all, nothing, pitch black. And, you know, the closet was, of course, right next to, and you know, if you wanted to wash your clothes, you'd open the closet door. But, you know, we didn't know that there was a washer and dryer. You know, the part of the fun thing is, you know, we'd often try and pick someone new to have their house be the one we do it in. So, you know, you've never been in the house before and you don't get to see it really. So you're having to walk through somebody's house in the dark, so you don't really know what to expect. But anyways, there's about five or six of us in a line, and we're all touching each other's shoulder in front of us while we're going through this hallway, because we thought that would be the best way to get through the pitch black hallway, is everyone touch each other's shoulder. And so we're all doing this, walking through this hallway, and we hear this, like, like it sounded like a growl, like the, you know, like, you know, demon coming up out of the, you know, mud, like, you know, like something like that. And the person in the back was the scared. She was the one that was the scaredest. So she was the one that, like absolutely terrified of everything. And she screamed and started to run, but she ran into the person in front of her, which then hit the person in front of him. And then we all just fell like dominoes on top of each other in the hall. And we were all screaming, of course, at this point, because we hear this weird growl, you know, and everyone was like literally screaming. And like later on, we found out that it was just, his cell phone set to vibrate. And he waited until we were in the hallway and just called the cell phone, and it vibrated on top of the washer and it made that weird growl noise. And, you know, in the dark, your imagination fills in a lot of the gaps. And that's what I mean by, you know, like, that's why the scare game was fun, because our imagination would fill in a lot of the gaps. I mean, there was only like one time where we had this really legit scare where we were doing a professor's house, and we found this room that was actually behind boxes, and it was like made up to be like a person's room, and it was very weird feeling room, and I could have swore that I heard like a voice in there, and the person who was doing the scares was on the other side of the house, you know what I mean? like yeah, really creepy. But anyways, that was the one legit scare of that scare game. But anyways, that's what Bly Manor does, is it Bly Manor really lets your imagination do the work of scaring yourself, which is what I think for me is a very scary movie. For me, when they let my imagination run wild and they make it to where I get nervous to walk around at my house without lights on, I think they've done a good job. And I did. I actually did feel that. Like I took the trash out, and my trash is located in, like, I don't know, Billings is kind of, you know, I'm in Billings, Montana, and they have this kind of cool thing here where they have these giant trash cans in the alleyway behind the house that everyone just shares, which is actually really nice, because, you know, those city trash cans sometimes, like, they fill up, or, you know, like, big stuff, you can't really fit it in there, you know? Whereas this, you could put, like, all sorts of stuff in there, and, you know, like, you always seem to have room in those things. So, anyways, I was taking trash out to the alleyway, and this was, of course, after watching one of the creepier episodes of Bly Manor, and I was just, I just had this thing to get back, you know, just this sense of dread that I had to get back to the house as soon as possible. Like, it was dark out, and I was kind of scaring myself out, and then I heard this, like, noise, and I just like ran back inside, like, and that's what I know, like, oh, Bly Manor is a good scare, like the fact that I'm actually doing something that is you know, indicative of it scared me in, you know, my regular life. Oh yeah, that's great. So I highly recommend it, at least if you're the, like, if you like the slow scare, then great. If you're more into slashers, you know, axe everyone until the last person standing, probably not your best. Or if you're more into kind of cat scary type of stuff where you jump out of your, you know, there is a cat scare in there. Like not saying it doesn't happen, but, you know, it's just not the main thing that's causing the terror. So, yeah, I definitely recommend it. And if you, you know, once again, the Muddy Footprint Girl, the evil one, if you see muddy footprints in your house, lock yourself in your room, clean them up in the morning. That's what I learned from this series. You survive that way. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, and enjoy everything else Real Paranormal Activity has to offer you, and some more Cal next week. Thank you. Have a good night.